Welcome to the Auburn Live Podcast, your home for bold, insightful, and honest conversations around Auburn athletics.
Where'd he go?
Hey, how about you, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Auburn Live Show, a recruiting edition today, also known as the Shriveled Freaking Pod. I'm your host, Jeffrey Lee, senior recruiting editor for Auburn Live on 3. If you're not a member of that site, you're missing out. And we got a special going on, as we always do, $8.33 a month for if you get an annual pass, which is, what is that, Cole? Almost a gallon of gas down there in Florida?
Yeah, pretty close.
Enough. All right.
Absolutely.
Anyways, I'm joined today, as I always am, by my cohorts, Mr. Cole Pinkston, recruiting analyst for Auburn Live on 3. Cole, how the hell are you down there in Orlando?
Man, I am doing pretty good. We're on the last day here, heading back to the 334 after that. So
how's it been?
It's been good, man. Weather's been perfect. Friday? Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, really? Get your fast pass?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really into all that stuff. I've been kind of chilling a little bit, but I hit the rides. We got fast pass a couple times. It's been nice.
What's the one that goes up the mountain?
It's mountain or Splash Mountain?
Everest.
No, Everest. Everest. Yeah, we had a ball on that now. Yeah, I rode the hell out of that.
Yeah. That was pretty wild.
J-Head, how the hell are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm better than I'm with you guys today. Sorry about last night, and for all the people that that called in the show, thank you guys for tuning in. I was able to catch part of it. It was fantastic. Cole making appearances from Orlando really made me feel shitty about myself, but hey, I'm here today.
Jared, I have family here. I got help with the kids, you know. So
this is true.
It
was a solo venture last night, right?
Yeah.
But be that as it may, we're here today. A bit more recruiting. Interested to hear Jeffrey's bit on the transfer portal and kind of moving into visits, the end of eval season, and a little 5-for-2. So it sounds like a great day today.
By the way, if you're just kind of figuring out what Jay was talking about, we had our first call-in show last night. Recruiting call-in show. Cole and I took a call for, I think, an hour and a half. Several calls, a lot of intel on that. We're going to start doing that every week, Tuesday nights at 6:30 till 8. So if you missed it last night, it's on our YouTube channel. You can go watch it. And then if you want to join us next Tuesday night, it'll be on our YouTube channel as well. Okay, so I wrote a story earlier this week about Auburn's struggles, Auburn's limitations, the options in the transfer portal and how it's limiting their options. And I kind of gave a broad overlook on it and really learned a little bit more about it. And just how difficult it is for Auburn to get these transfers eligible to play. Now, the rule across the board is equal for everyone. It's the same for all colleges. The problem is that not all colleges offer the same degrees. So when guys like Ricky Pearsall, Casey Rogers, who are some of the other ones I mentioned? I can't remember. Myron Warren, who we all had pegged coming to Auburn, former four-star recruit out of Texas. And then there was the wide receiver out of Texas, Kevontae Dixon.
Yeah.
So all these guys were at positions of need for Auburn. Auburn reached out to these kids, was setting up visits, already had Myron Warren locked in, only to have to cancel. And if you remember last week, Casey Rogers committed to Oregon. And after having Auburn in his top three, and, you know, he never visited Auburn. Well, now we know why. He wasn't eligible to transfer. The problem that we're seeing with this is the lack of majors at Auburn that coincide with what these kids are doing elsewhere. There is no sports management major at Auburn. There is no recreation major at Auburn. The only thing Auburn has is interdisciplinary studies that – even equate similarly to what these kids are doing. And the problem with that is you've got to take two prerequisite courses just to get into that major. Well, you can't take those two prerequisite courses in the same semester. So it takes you a full year just to get into that major. And in the meantime, during that year of taking those prerequisites to get into that major, you've got to be declared somewhere else. So now you're talking about a psychology or a criminology or something like that. So it's very difficult. Even the kids, DJ James and Jason Jones at from Oregon came from Oregon, and you know they're having to go through this process as well. If the football season was back in the spring, they wouldn't have been eligible. They're having to take classes right now to get into that to be eligible at all. And all signs point to them being able to, but that just shows you more about the difficulties in getting kids in here. And so one of the things that people started freaking out about, and I've got my eye on you, BJTWDE and Denny Ken 34. They were talking about, oh, spin it. He's spinning it. Dude, there ain't nothing to spin, man. I mean, this is reality. Auburn's professors, I think almost 90% of the professors are tenured. They hold a lot of weight in this. They hold a lot of weight in making a new degree, a major at Auburn. Nobody wants that major in their school right now. And so when Auburn reaches out to these kids enter the transfer portal. Auburn reaches out immediately. You got to. If you're not, you're far behind. You're far behind.
Right.
They reach out to these kids. They want their transcripts. They get their transcripts. Well, it's not like you can take a transcript and go, okay, man, he's in. He's good to go. You've got to now take each individual course and send it to the professors at Auburn. The professors at Auburn are the ones who decide, okay, he took Biology 101 at Texas. That's going to count as Biology 101. We'll do that here at Auburn. They're the ones who's saying whether or not these classes are transferring and what as. Most of these kids have 40 hours of electives, and you just can't translate that into a major at Auburn. But if Auburn's professors have no reason to put this stuff at the top of their priorities, so if they're giving finals, if it's the first of the semester, the last of the semester, like right now, the past week and a half, dude, they're not in any hurry. So you're waiting for a week just for this professor to say yay or nay on these classes and if they'll transfer. And in the meantime, you've got to recruit the hell out of this kid. You've got to set up official visits. You've got to set up calls, and you know you've got to do everything as if he's going to be eligible, just like they did with Myron Warren. You know, they're setting up calls, they're setting up official visits, and only then, after these professors finally get around to looking at these courses, at the transcripts, do they find out that he's not eligible.
Yeah.
He could transfer, but he'll have to sit out a year.
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't make them bad students or anything of that nature. This is not what we were saying, and that's why it makes more sense when we started talking about Ricky Pearsall and why he'd be eligible at Florida and not at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they had a transferable major that his credits applied to. They didn't apply to anything at Auburn. And I think that's connect with some of our fans and some of the message board readers. I want to get Cole's take on to experience this transferring to AUM kind of a little bit.
Yeah.
But the confusion on their end is they're saying, oh, well, there's no way that he's academically part of, which is a pretty prestigious institution. And he's not eligible at Auburn. That just doesn't make any sense. Well, it does in that context. And you realize the limited amount of majors that Auburn has, mm-hmm. some of these majors that they're, you know what I mean, the places they're coming from. And Cole, go ahead and kind of dovetail in, man.
Yeah, man. I did the transfer to AUM when I was in college at the end of my college tenure. But it took me a lot longer in college because of my transfer to AUM because they did not accept my minor. I had a minor, which was over 18 hours in a certain field that had to do with sports management, exercise science, that kind of thing. And they didn't take it, didn't transfer, held me back about two semesters. And, you know, for guys that are going to play football somewhere, that's going to hurt them with their football careers. You know, if you go to some place and they don't start you back where you were, you fall behind two semesters and now that messes with you. So,
well, and you only have 13 semesters to complete your degree. That's,
yeah, exactly.
You're limited to that amount of time. And so if you lose two semesters, that's and that's what Jeffrey means by the PTB and the 40-60-80 rule where you have to complete credits to maintain eligibility.
Right.
So it's just a really – I don't think the staff ever anticipated that this was going to happen when they decided they were going to make their initial push into the transfer portal to bring in some veteran leadership. Veteran players to kind of raise the floor to a degree of some of the talent they already had on the team. Had they known all this, maybe they would have handled things a little bit differently, but they didn't. They're learning as they go, just like everybody transport, ever evolving thing. And it's just, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. There are still a couple of guys in the portal that they, like Jeffrey talked about this within his piece with Abua Isabor and a handful of others that are there meet Auburn's criteria.
Yeah.
And it's, let me tell you how restrictive Auburn is. And it's not like Auburn is set up to be a deterrence. The faculty and stuff is set up to be a deterrence to the transfer portal. But even Vanderbilt offers sports management. I mean, that it's easier to transfer into Vanderbilt to play football than it is to Auburn for most students. Now, if it's a Georgia Tech or an engineering school or something like that, dude, there's not going to be any problems. There's not going to be any problems with the kid transferring. UCLA, Odua Isabor, now I think he's more of a grad. Is he a grad transfer?
I believe so.
Welcome, you know, Matt's wide, doors wide open.
And he's a psychology major too, I think. So,
which Auburn has.
Totally different. Totally right. Different scenario. He doesn't have to worry about that because they'll take all of his credits. You know,
but when you've got kids that go into college and, you know, the problem with Desi Seals, we talked about him a couple of times, was that he had so many electives and not any core classes. Like he was done with core. So if he were to come to Auburn, he would have had to take in very difficult courses. Every one of them would have had to have been difficult courses for him and trying to play D1 sport and taking a legit curriculum. It was not going to happen. And that's what a lot of these kids that they go get in their first year of school and it's, you know, nothing but electives. Dude, somebody, I'm not kidding you, had a seashell finding course. I'm not lying.
This is true.
So when you get kids who've got nothing but electives and it's in their second year of college and they're trying to transfer to a school like Auburn that has limited opportunities, limited majors, it's not going to happen. And there's nothing that the coaching staff can do. Now, you can take off. Jay, I thought you hit. If you're going to complain about anything, it's, hey, man, we realize now how difficult it is. Maybe we shouldn't put all our eggs or a lot of eggs in the transfer portal basket.
Yeah, right.
But when it comes to spinning because these kids aren't coming to Auburn, that's false. It's fiction. It's just another excuse completely for these idiots.
Yeah.
I agree. A lot of dingleberries of the week.
And
like I said, if they want to be frustrated because we didn't concentrate more on junior early on or concentrate more on high school targets early on, I get that.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's warranted. But,
that's a warranted complaint. But them where they are now and what they're limited to, I mean, I think they're doing exactly what they can at this point. Jeffrey, you can probably talk to, you know, what targets are still on the board that kind of meet criteria right from a transfer standpoint. I know there's some thought that they're going to come available on the grad transfer market because that's still a possible avenue. Even if they transfer after May, for a waiver, standing very easily grantable. If they request a major that's at Auburn that, say, is not offered at the current school they're at and they've graduated from that institution. So
Right. There's
still an avenue to add players beyond the May 1 deadline. We just don't know who those prospects are going to be yet because, obviously, they haven't finished their degree.
Right. Yeah, so nothing final on Matt Landers. I know we talked about him, the wide receiver who signed with Georgia, transferred to Toledo. Now he's transferring out. Nothing final on him. But, he's in that waiting period where –
right.
The professors are waiting, Auburn's waiting on feedback to find out if he's even eligible. In the meantime, they're recruiting the shit out of
him. Yeah.
As they should.
You know, absolutely. We talked about Craig McDonald, the defensive back from Iowa State. Jay Head, we missed you last night with our portal. You're a portal guru. Marvin Grant, Marvin Grant, did he ever commit to USC, the Purdue defensive back?
I don't think he has.
No, and actually, he just visited Kansas as well. There's a connection out there between one of his former high school teammates being on Kansas's team. And so he went out there as kind of a courtesy visit. A lot of heavy interest from USC. I know we're very interested in Marvin Grant. I don't know, where we stand in that situation. I felt last time I spoke to anyone to give me a little bit of intel, they felt better about Craig was kind of the feeling that I got. And they saw those two as very comparable.
Yeah.
That same, so splitting hairs there, but Marcus Washington from Texas. I think he's still under the evaluation from his and Matt Landers with the edge board. And I'm keeping an eye on Quayshawn. I don't think there's some other things at play other than academics with him that they're kind of making a determination on. And maybe they'll make a move on him. Maybe they won't. I still have no answer there yet.
I have Josh Landry written down.
Yes, Josh Landry from Baylor. I know that there's been some dialogue there between those two. I haven't gotten any confirmation that we've moved into the direction of an offer just yet. I know that he's definitely on the board or was on the board at one point.
Yeah, I agree.
So, a lot of things coming to light, I guess, over the next couple of weeks. Would you say that the May 1st deadline, the transfer portal is closed?
Correct.
For immediate eligibility.
For immediate eligibility outside of grad transfers with a waiver. Those will be the only people that could be entering the pool that we would have some interest. So I think where we left it off at is that the people that will be entering the portal, so it's done for May 1st as far as people that are for immediate eligibility. However, grad transfers after May 1st can apply for a waiver. Those will be the only people that we're really interested in beyond those people that we just listed with Donald, Marvin Grant, Marcus Washington, Matt Landers, the defensive tackle from Baylor, Andre, and potentially John Fuller. And Abue is a boy. Those are the targets right now that we're aware of that you guys need to be concentrated on that we think that we potentially have a shot at.
Yes.
Hey, and speaking of, and we're gonna turn our focus now to the defensive line. We know we talked about the transfer portal. We mentioned a couple of defensive line names. Odua Ezebor is the edge target we're going to be tracking. I think he just visited Cal. I think we'd said from the beginning, Cal, Duke, and Auburn were his top schools.
Yes.
I'm really worried now. I think about him being worried about playing time. Poland, I touched on this last night, but. Speaking of visits, what we've seen this month of June coming up in a couple of weeks, and we're going to get started at the end of May, to be honest with you. I'm talking official visits.
Yep.
Just confirmed Sidere Mitchell, defensive tackle from New Jersey, will be here at the first of June. But I just wanted to read you real quick who we've got confirmed right now. Raquez McElderry, also known as, is coming in Friday, May 27th. That last weekend in May, he's the only one I've got confirmed right now. He's a Georgia commitment from Anniston.
Yep.
Cousins to Braden Joyner. I really like Auburn's chances there. I really do. I think I would be more surprised if Auburn doesn't get him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm still watching Alabama, too. I actually think it's more of a chance that he goes to either Alabama or Auburn than Georgia right now.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, Cole. To me, it's my major concern right now with them starting to show interest. So we'll see how involved they get.
Right.
That next weekend is going to be huge, and not so much for numbers, but the first weekend in June, you've got Jaden Osbury, younger brother of Austin. You've got four-star defensive tackle Jamal Jarrett.
Yep.
Coming down from North Carolina, and you've got four-star running back Roderick Robinson coming from San Diego. All three of those guys are locked in for that first week in June.
Gosh, those are two that really that I've got my eye on right now are Jarrett and Robinson.
Yep.
The emergence with Auburn for Robinson has been fast.
Quick, yeah.
It's happened fast. And then with Jarrett, you know, he hasn't been there yet, to our knowledge. I don't think he had been there at all.
He's the one who's really close with Aniche Sledge. And who actually approached Auburn. If you remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but he's the one who was like, hey, dude, recruit me. My buddy's going there. My big brother's going there. I want that option to go with.
I had a good talk with him at the Under Armour camp in Alpharetta. He was ready to get to campus. He said he was going to try to do it in April, but, you know, he's getting there now and got the great relationship with Jimmy Brumbaugh, too. So that one could really be something when he sees campus and gets around Aniche Sledge there, if he's there yet. He'd probably join him or something. I don't know, but that'll be interesting.
The next week, June 10th.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned relationship with Jamal. I believe that Roderick Robertson also has a relationship with our All-American cornerback signee, also San Diego. So two relationships there with two signees in the 2022 class may be aiding us here just a little bit.
Yeah, Keontae Scott from around the same area in California. That's right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So very interesting, and love the tape on both those guys. Jared's just that big nose tackle that you need in a multi front defense.
6'5", Roger Robertson.
Yeah, he's
And I think on three's got
boy, Jeffrey.
I think on three's got Jarrett as an offensive lineman just because they project him as that, which a lot of teams are recruiting him that way, but you know, he may prefer defense, which is what Auburn likes.
I think he actually does, and I think UGA prefers him on defense, who's also probably the other the big team involved with him. Mm-hmm. UNC likes him on defense. So I think he's a nose tackle all the way as far as that's concerned for the schools that are on his primary list. And then Roderick Robertson, I love that kid's film. I really like him. But when you watch Robertson's tape, man, good. Robinson, it shows a nice blend of zone scheme run, a lot of love his patience right before he hits the hole, and just the explosion that he has or the ability to take it to the house. I mean, it's really a combination of skills and something that would be a want or a very needed person in this class, losing Tank Bigsby going into next year.
Yeah.
The following week, June 10th, you've got two big defenders coming in. You got in-state four-star Hunter Osborne, and you've got probably one of the top three or four linebacker targets in D. Creighton. Four-star coming in that next weekend. The next weekend, you've got Jordan Hall, another top three guy.
Yep.
And then the 24th of June, you've got Sidere Mitchell, and you've got Clay Whedon coming up from Florida. A lot of big-time guys coming in for June. And most of these guys have already visited. They visited during the spring.
Yeah. And Connor Stroh is another from Texas.
I miss him. I'll skip right over him. He's coming next weekend.
Yeah.
Friday,
May 20th.
Yeah.
Yep, May 20th.
Friday week, you've got Connor Stroh, and the following weekend, you've got McElderry.
Yeah, right.
That's just the guys that you guys have confirmed.
Right,
you
know, exactly.
That's not – Auburn's got other guys that are coming in. This is just who we've confirmed at this point. I'm really, really excited for your guys reporting as we get closer to some of these official visit weekends. And then camp season, and who materializes during camp season that may come on for an official visit period as well, because it really feels like this staff, contrary to my early belief that we were going to push more officials towards the end of the season, they are loading up in June right now and getting guys on camp.
Here's some other guys that I know have set up official visits, but I just haven't confirmed the dates. Connor Liu, Will Conformby, two offensive linemen, one from Alabama. Stanton Ramil.
Yep.
Just picked up an offer from Clemson today.
He did. Got a Clemson offer.
Jeremiah Cobb is coming. Reuben Bain is coming back.
Yep.
Isaiah Nixon, we talked about him last night. Cole is an edge guy. He's coming in. Kelsey Frost coming in June the 10th, I think. I need to add him to that list.
Yeah.
Shandavian Bradley is another edge guy we talked about. He's coming in for, I think, the 24th. Got to get that confirmed. And Hunter Clegg. Clegg, where's he from? Iowa, Cole?
Utah. American.
That's what I said.
American Fork, Utah.
So there's several, and that list is probably 10 days old. I'm sure there's been more even added to it than that. So June is going to be stacked, and what I've noticed is a lot is front heavy, both offensive and defensive line.
Yeah,
big heavy,
which are both, you know, big needs in this class. Mm-hmm. And, you know, offensive and defensive line are probably your top two target areas. Class. So, excited for the prospects we point and materialize. And then, you know, I saw there was a question last night that got asked to you guys with regard to when Ken is going to be. And it sounds like to this point it's going to be the end of July, which is good because the momentum of having all your official visits in June, your camps in June.
Yeah.
And then getting on campus for a major event like that in July, as opposed to necessarily where Gus's staff had it, a front end of June.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes late May.
So more time for targets to materialize.
Yeah, definitely. if they can get a good turnout there at the Big Cat Weekend after all these guys come for official visits, I'm sure that on the official visits, even the guys like Sider Mitchell that's from New Jersey, they'll go, "Hey, you know, we got Big Cat Weekend at the end of July. That'd be a great one to come down. You'll know everybody there, you know."
100%.
Oh, you know who else? Cole's boy, Brock Glenn.
Oh,
hey,
Auburn.
Hey, hey.
You mean Auburn?
I like that.
Auburn. That's right. That's right. So
need that quarterback in the class later.
You got to think Auburn brings him back. He came for practice earlier in the spring, brings him back to basically put the final touches on his recruitment. He's a guy I would expect to visit one more time, leave, and say, "Hey, I'm going to announce my decision next week."
You know, I don't know how well that Holden Gurner knew everybody in the class. Some guys you know are just popular, like Braden Joyner, Damari Austin. They know all the guys. They've been camping with all the top guys for years. I didn't know much about Gurner, but at the end, he really seemed to be a good recruiter for Auburn. If Brock Glenn were to join the class, I'm sure that he would get to work on that too.
Mm.
That's always a good thing, having a quarterback in the class.
Well, and speaking of Brock Glenn, he's obviously going to be competing in the Elite 11 this weekend, the regionals up in Nashville. So that's something for people as far as he's concerned. And really right now, if you've been following his recruitment, it sounds like an Auburn versus Mississippi State battle and one that we need to lock. I know that Virginia and TCU have become more involved there, but I feel very comfortable, like Jeffrey said, this is going to be a bring him on campus for an official visit, get him locked up, get him in the class, and let him start recruiting.
Yeah, yeah. And look, Mississippi State might not sound like, you know, that might not fire you up as a battle that you're against a recruit for, but they got some cred with quarterbacks with Michael Leach being there, I promise. That dude knows how to use a quarterback. And if he wants you, yeah, you're pretty good.
Well, and like you said, the amount of opportunities you're going to have to throw the football in his offense. So if you're excited about throwing the football around the yard, mm-hmm. and most quarterbacks are, you know, that's attractive. So that's a bad option, but I really like our chances. I mean, from everything that I understand, the reviews that he's done with you guys, to me, it signifies that Auburn is a major player. And if we push, which I think now, that we can get it.
All right, let's see. Let's go to our defensive line 5-for-2 this week.
All right.
How are we going to do this?
So we're going to break it up just like you would break it up across the defense. We're going to go defensive end, nose guard, and then defensive tackle. And the tackle spot is that hybrid position, 3, the 4-eye, the 5, contingent on what front we're going to be in. That's going to be kind of your swing piece to a degree lineup.
All right, where are you going to start?
Let's start with end. It's an attractive one to start with.
Not edge. We're talking end.
Yeah.
We're talking end. So a strong side end.
So Kobe Wooden.
So you got it. The Kobe Wooden spot. And in you guys may include him in yours. I did not include Tamari and T.J. Parker on my end list just because we're recruiting him as an edge. As far as that's concerned, they can tell him whatever they want. He's going to end up playing defensive end when he gets to Auburn, in my opinion, because his body's just going to grow into it. But for the time, consider him an edge.
I think he's probably getting talked to about both, J-Head, because Jimmy Brumbaugh's been in the mix there too, as well as Rock Bellantoni. So, he could be considered in this category too. If we are considering him in this category, he's going to be number one for me.
Okay, well, let's put him in the number two for me. Starting number one for me, Osborne, Hewitt-Trussville High School, or Clemson and Tennessee probably being your other two big dogs in the race. And with that, I will kick it to Cole, who says T.J., Tamari, and Parker is his number one.
Yep, T.J. Parker is going to be number one there. Are we counting Keldrick Falk?
I'm counting him as an edge.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was thinking. Okay, I like for number two, let's go with – I'm looking at the list here. I don't have it in order, but I know who I want. I like Reuben Bain's edge too. How about Gavin Hill, who was just offered not too long ago from Buckholz?
I like that.
Gainesville, Florida. He's one that we don't know much about yet, and I think that he is going to visit, probably officially visit really soon too, if I had to guess.
All right, so
I would, yeah. Go ahead, AJ Lee, I cut you off.
Well, Russell's an edge. Fault's an edge. We've named Parker. Yep. Isaiah Nixon is an edge.
Yep.
Hunter Clegg is an edge. Wilkie Donato is an edge. Ashley Williams is an edge. Now you're getting to, like, Hunter Osborne, certainly.
Yep.
Yep.
TJ Searcy?
Yeah.
Yes. On my list.
Could I have him as a D end?
Or is he's definitely a D end. Any question on that?
I'll take TJ Searcy. I'll draft him. Third round.
Yep. And you probably could throw Joshua Horton in the category as well.
That would have been my next one.
Yeah.
You could, but I'm going to keep him on my defensive tackle board, but you guys can draft him to end if you want to.
But, you know, and what's weird is in the same category on three, you've got Caden McDonald, you've got Sidere Mitchell, and then you've got Jamarius Brown. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Right. So, and they don't separate ends in defensive line. They
gather multiple
fronts. So your defensive line is a hodgepodge of end, nose tackle, and defensive tackle.
Yeah, and you know, it could always change. These are the guys that we're all thinking project there at the moment, right?
Right now, at this point, we've got Hunter Osborne on the board, correct?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. TJ Tamarian Parker is number two, correct?
Yep.
Gavin Hill on the board.
Gavin Hill, yep. TJ Searcy.
TJ Searcy, and I'll give you my last one that's on my list, is Jamarius Brown.
With
so Alabama, he's a bigger
Florida,
boy.
Mississippi State, Ole Miss. He's a bigger boy. I thought he was, but the latest report I got is he came in at like 260 on campus. If he's in high school, there's no way he's playing edge by the time he gets to Auburn. He's going to eat his way into a defensive end.
Yeah, yeah.
No question.
I saw him in person. He's a big, big kid. Definitely.
Right. So I think he's definitely going to be a five tech. And my bonus name is Terrence Green.
He's
got an OD here relatively soon. And your major players with him are going to be USC, Texas Tech. And people may say Texas, but look, he's doing a fantastic job down at Texas Tech right now. I think he's got five class. Now, granted, it's chock full of three stars, but they're doing a really good job of turning two in that Texas area. So.
Yeah.
Watch out for them on the recruiting trail as far as it's concerned for a guy like Terrence Green.
All right. Let's go to your nose guard?
Yep.
Yeah, nose guard.
All right. I don't know where to start here. Y'all lead us off, man.
Jay,
all right. Nose guard.
Number one.
I'm going to go ahead and start with one. Go ahead, Cole.
No, go for it. You go first, and let's see if I'm the same.
Okay, nose guard, number one, Sidere Mitchell from Bergen Catholic, New Jersey. Other teams involved are going to be Texas A&M, Georgia, and Miami.
Yep, I will agree. Sidere Mitchell is probably number one on that list. And then Jamal Jarrett would be next.
Yep, that's my number two, Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, who's number three?
Caden McDonald, right?
See, I would have these guys as threes. I don't know. Y'all keep going, dude. So you got Sidere Mitchell, you got Jamal Jarrett, you got Caden McDonald. Who else you got?
That's probably your main three.
Okay. I can't come up with anybody else.
Your main three. Go ahead, Cole.
Xavier McLeod could probably be in that position as well. So he would be considered there as well. I'm wondering when he's going to get back on campus too, because he had a really good visit and haven't heard much from him lately. I'm going to try to catch up with him and see what we can find out.
And then last name on my list would be Jamarian Harkless from Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, new
other
offer.
Other major players are Kentucky, Illinois, Georgia, and LSU. And what's significant about that is those are all teams that use a multi-front defense. They're all looking for a nose guard. I don't think he's a frontline guy for any of them, but somebody that they could probably start to cultivate more information on and shift or change on their board. He may be somebody, whether it's somebody like a Sadir Mitchell coming off the board to us,
yeah,
know, or somebody else, that could cause Harkless to come off the board. So that's probably my fifth guy.
Gotcha. And then we can just fill in the rest here.
Okay, 3-10. Defensive tackle. Are you
Josh Horton? Yeah, Josh Horton, number four for me, Langston Hughes.
Yeah, you know, this position is sort of narrowed down a little bit because you had Will Norman from IMG Academy, who did not include Auburn in the top schools.
Yep.
You had Kelby Collins, who did not include Auburn in his top schools. And I probably would have had both of them in there in the first place. But now maybe the other Jordan Hall, not the linebacker, but the defensive lineman Jordan Hall from Jacksonville, Florida, would put him in there.
You're reading my mind, Cole. That's exactly who I've got as my number two, is George Jacksonville, Florida.
Yep.
And he is an absolute stud.
Yeah, he is. He's one of the more impressive ones. Cause, and again, when you're talking about the three techniques, that position, that's going to be your biggest, probably more athletic guy, but with the size advantage as well. So that's a really good combination there for the three techniques.
How about James Smith?
Yep, James.
That's my number three, Jeffrey. There you go.
Okay.
Wasn't going to name.
I had to get
first.
It in before I ran into names, man.
Well, I was not going to name him first. Board.
Yeah, with Will Norman and Kelby Collins leaving us out, and I don't think we're done recruiting those guys. Let me get that out there right now. I think they're still on our coach's board. I just, unfortunately, this only recency bias dictates that we shouldn't really talk about them, but I don't think our coaches are going to give up recruiting. But two
right.
names would be Will.
I'll throw another one in there, which he is sort of an edge end hybrid. Just a bonus name to add is Deshaun Womack from Baltimore, Maryland, who did include Auburn in his top schools and is going to visit at some point in the summer.
I've got a name, and he just was offered, I think last month, maybe in late March, but Xavien Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
From Lincoln.
Yeah, we should definitely put him on there. Yeah.
Man, that's a lot. That's a pretty strong list of defensive linemen all the way across
yeah.
the line.
It is. And
yeah, it really is.
And since last time, you had two big ones that were eliminated in Norman and Collins, and like Jay had said, they're probably not completely eliminated. I don't think they're going to stop recruiting them, but you know, looking at the targets that are more realistic, and they don't fit that bill anymore. So, still a bunch of names, regardless. That's pretty impressive.
I agree.
Hey guys, I know Cole's got to get back to the family and to Mickey, but do y'all have any how about yous this week?
I do not this week.
Okay.
Nobody just impressed me. Sorry.
Oh. Jayhead?
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to give Swamp Eagle one because I thought that he was kind of cleaning up some of the people that were making some complaints with regard to
oh yeah.
claims of things being spun or, you know, just, you know, some various complaints that were issued this week with regard to recruiting information.
Applying some logic.
I could always go in with Swamp Eagle. I'm a fan.
You know, look, I don't want to badmouth anybody as far as that's concerned. I think everybody is entitled to their viewpoint on things. But what I want to make clear to people is that we're not fanboys and we're not putting out information that's being steered staff. Any information or anybody on this show is information that they think is valid and pertinent to the issue, and it's not spin by any means. It is reporting a fact. And if we disagree with the coaching staff's direction, we will tell you, okay?
Yeah.
This just happens to be the fact for and Swamp people up this week. So that's where he's going to get a shout.
Well,
I do have one, Jeffrey. Let me just give a shout-out to Shacker Jack for calling in last night and giving us a good question.
Shacker with a K, not a CK.
Oh, Shacker. Had us fooled with the K. We were thinking it was Shaker. It's not a Shaker.
It's actually wait a minute. Is it? Is Shaker? But with
he said Shaker. He said Shaker Jack.
Oh, I thought it is Shaker, but he doesn't have the C in there. It used to be Shaker. He had. I think I might have banned him. He had to come back and shake Jack. He goes, you pronounce it Shaker, Mr. Lee. I'm sorry. He was real nice, man. I've got several, man. We've had a lot going on this week. And I thought we've had some really good posters. We've got some really good contributions from our people. So here's my how about yous for this week. Leading off, Mr. Steven Queef.
Bro, that name in and of itself.
He's going to be so happy that you.
Steven Queef. AU Barner 99 came through for us last night on the show with a couple of things, man. He also was a big advocate when we threw the idea out last week. So was W. Tidwell 51. And wanted to give two big half-bashes to those guys. Souls. Shit, man. You know I can't pronounce anything Souls. Souls. Big. Great poster. So was Decatur Tiger 97. How about you to him? How about you to Smoke One? I bet you to Bob Sackaman AU. And then we had Hayes MO, who was our new subscriber, jumped on the board right off and said, "Hey, I'm here, man. Deal with it." Welcome to the site, Hayes Mo. Appreciate you. And then a couple of guys that I really appreciate, man. I really appreciate what they bring to the site. I appreciate them posting. Bruce Ball 24 has always got some good scoop, some basketball recruiting scoop, as does Rejects, man. I really appreciate both of those guys and what they bring to the site. Same as Jay Phillips and Orange and Drew. Orange, mm-hmm. Those two guys, man, they're really good. And I tell you what, so when I dropped that PTD thing story earlier this week, the one guy who like got it, he like really understood it and was like answering questions basically for me, was Coach _ BM. He really he was helping explain like, hey, Auburn doesn't have those, They don't have the majors, and he really did a good job. I appreciate that, and big how about you to Coach BM. Tumors Trees 91's always been good. At AU Bass, always been good. And then today, Jamie Shaw on threes. Jamie Shaw, national basketball analyst, had the Julian Phillips, Tennessee, and was basically saying, we've known it all along, walked y'all through it, and Cook. Everybody knows Cook. Cook EDW.
Oh, yeah. He saves receipts, baby.
That's damn right. He called his ass out. And it was like 1 week in Tennessee was weak. And then just yesterday, Jamie Shaw released an insider saying, or maybe it was 2 days ago, that Auburn was thought to be in the lead. And Jamie would not acknowledge that. Or if he did, he was like, well, those were other sources. I don't know them. Are you intentionally misleading your readers? But anyways, great job by Cook on that, dude. He kept those receipts. Couple of Dingleberries of the Weeks. And listen, this is not nominees. These are co-winners. All right, we got I've already mentioned BJT, WDE, and Denny 1034. They're good posters, man. They just could not accept. Oh, I heard something behind me. They just could not accept that the reason that Auburn wasn't going to get these transfers was because of the PTD. They just go, oh, my God, spin. And of course, our Kemosabe. Kemosabe, he was nominated last week. He's like, look, dude, I don't want to hear no nominations. Let me know when I win. So, Kemosabe. I'm going to give Kemosabe first place Dingleberry of the Week this week and co-runner-up with BJT, WDE, and Denny 1034. But we've had a lot. Good stuff, man. We've had a busy message board. We've had good stuff to talk about. We've had great contributions from our subscribers. And it just keeps getting better, man. Auburn Live on three. If you're not a member, jump on that, man. We've got offers all the time. We've got coming up. We've got our call-in show from now on Tuesday nights at 6:30. Be sure to listen to that. Cole keeps bringing it. So does J-Head. J-Head's going to walk us through the portal until there's no portaling left. But we appreciate it. Cole, we appreciate you joining us, man, today from Orlando. J-Head, appreciate you. We'll see you next week on the call-in show. Zach, appreciate you behind the scenes, big dog. We really do, man. Appreciate you big time, man.
Definitely appreciate him. And those that don't know, he cuts out all these mistakes that I make. So you should really appreciate what Zach does.
So for Zach, for Jay here, for Cole, I'm Jeffrey Lee, man. We'll see you next week. Remember to stay out of the left lane unless you're passing, then get the hell back over in the right. See you.